Let's face it, life isn't easy. If you're stuck in a bad relationship, betrayed or afraid of tomorrow, financially insecure or desperate for a breakthrough, you've come to the right place. Dr. Carmen Hara is a renowned psychologist, intuitive, relationship expert, and best-selling author, and she's here to give you the miracle guidance you need. Her new call-in show, Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life, offers profound wisdom, practical advice, daily exercises, and empowering predictions, all for you. Dr. Hara's show aims to eliminate everyday problems, big and small, with topics like healing your relationships, reclaiming your power, achieving better health, dealing with loss, and so much more. Regain the joy, stability, and fulfillment you deserve to feel. Tune in to Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life with host Dr. Carmen Hara, live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and find the answers you've been looking for.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life. I'm Dr. Carmen Hara, and I'm live every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Home Time Radio. And tonight I have a special guest, and together we'll help you tap into the divine power. Because there are two truths in life that are inseparable from one another. Each of us is divine, and each of us is powerful. These two truths are inseparable because one comes from the other. You are powerful because you are divine in nature. Your ties to the omnipotent universe are unbreakable, and because of that, you are part of its force. And when you remember your connection to the divine force, you start to believe in your own power. The problem is that the human mind is good at creating the illusion of separateness, and this makes us forget that our true nature is oneness. And I relate to this entire concept because I wrote a book called Holiness, published by Hay House around 8 years ago. Right before 2012, when we were thinking that it's going to be the end of the world. But human beings, we experience oneness when we recognize and when we cherish our sacred connection to other people, to the earth, to the universe, to the past, to the present, to the future, when we release the illusion of being separated and the discord that our minds have created, and when we remember our true nature and our feelings in our heart that we are not alone and we are not disconnected after all. So we perceive that we are whole and we are perfect as we are, and that we are in harmony with the universe, and everything in the universe is part of the unity, that the darkness exists with the light in order to complete the whole. We understand that it's our natural state of joy, health, and the perfection of the harmony that comes with being immersed in the spirit. So we also become aware of ourselves, that individual glorious expression of the divine force. This is who we really are. We feel compelled to manifest oneness so that others may feel the comfort, the joy, and the force of this sacred connection. And we find the courage to create wellness, balance, and cooperation on earth. So when we believe in the power of oneness and choose to manifest, we live with purpose. We know that the role that we play, that we all play this vital role in healing a world that has become unbalanced and disharmonious. And we see this every day. So despite our challenges, this faith in our divine power allows us to be at peace with that which we cannot change. And we accept the mystery and the complexity of our human existence. So that's why optimist creativity and hope thrive as we choose oneness over the illusion of being separated. So it's time to heal the suffering we've caused, and it's time to come back to the state of being that we meant to experience. It's time to return to aligning to the law of totality, which is one of the number one law of the universe, which declares that we are one, united in the reality that lies beyond our senses. So I'm telling you all of this because we can make the future wonderful. We can, or we can create suffering. It's up to us. We are at the crossroads for a while, and because we are connected, the more of us embrace this sense of totality and unity. And the more we embrace, you know, the quicker our progress will be. And tonight I have a wonderful guest who thinks in the same way. And he's the author of a book that I really loved. I read this book and I was very moved by it. And I found all my thinking in this book. And it's called I Am God in Disguise. So Are You. And the name of the author is Greg Callavo. And this is an amazing book that calls for what is called a spiritual revolution. It's an empowering book, inspiring this journey towards the fact that we all have this divine nature and all should be at service. So, Greg, there's so many things I can tell you about Greg that you will be amazed. But the fact that he's an optimist and he's a living proof that this journey is possible starts by the fact that he's a philanthropist. He's an amazing author. He's an entrepreneur. He did so many things in life, and he just acknowledged that he discovered this divine power within himself, and he surrendered to this power and inspired others through his own journey. So he created this beautiful book, and it's something that there's something extraordinary that he defines in this book, which are the six stages of life. Like in life, through the process of life, you go through six stages, which he will tell you much more about it. But I found it interesting, from the birth to the school of life, to the discovery, to the epic battle, to the surrender, and to being inspired. So Greg sees an opportunity that we all that has emerged for humanity, that we all should wake up and reclaim this divine power. And when we end our inner battle, you know, through surrendering, peace will soon follow in this world. So I pray for that, and I hope for that. And I want you to know that 100% of the ebook of this ebook, the proceeds will actually go to water.org, and it's a mission of this foundation to bring safe water. And this is a beautiful, how should I say, message of this book and of the author to bring safe water and sanitation solution for those in need. And boy, there's so many people on earth that need the safe water. We talk about this all the time. And in order to find much more, and if you want to support Greg and support his book, then you go to his site, awesomelife.com, and you will learn much more about this. But I want to invite Greg to the show because I can't tell enough about him, and there's so many wonderful things I have to discuss with him. So my wonderful guest tonight, as I said, Greg Callavo, and he is wonderful, and he accepted to be my guest. So dear Greg, welcome to the show.
Wow, that was amazing. I don't even want to speak. Carmen, after all that, I don't even want to speak and ruin it. No, but seriously, I really, really appreciate the opportunity to come on and share my message with your audience.
Yes.
Everything you just said about, you know, the spiritual path and discovery of the divine within, et cetera, I mean, we are definitely on the same page.
Absolutely. And you know what? I want to ask you by putting the first major question, the question that our listener need to hear. How did you get on this spiritual path? When was the moment when you just woke up and realized, hey, this is where I want to be? And what made you start? What was that? What triggered that spiritual path in you?
Sure. Well, I believe that we're all born onto our spiritual path. So for me, the real, you know, I guess the real question would be, when did I discover I was on a spiritual path? And I would say, you know, in the course of writing the book, I discovered that I was around 32, 33 years old. The school of life was pretty much doing its job and was wearing me down. The universe actually works in mysterious ways, as you well know. And there were three events that happened in a very short period of time. One of them was I was invited to go to a workshop with a friend of mine. I actually called her up and asked her to go out to dinner, and she said, "Hey, I'd love to go, but I have this meeting to go to first." She said, "If you'd like to join me, you know, it's only an hour-long meeting." So I went to the meeting, and it happened to be a work group that discussed a Course in Miracles.
Yes.
And so that was really my first, inspiration, or the first time I got to hear this type of spiritual language.
Right.
And then Carmen, shortly after that, I was invited by some friends to go to a church service, and I'm not really a religious guy, and I explained to my friends that I was not a churchy kind of person, and they insisted that I come, that it was not a traditional church, and that it would be fun. So I discovered, much to my surprise, it was a Unity Church service. And I have to admit, it was great. It was a very positive, uplifting spiritual message. It was non-denominational. I'm not sure. Have you ever experienced a Unity?
I did. Actually, I did. I agree with you. 100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Agree with you. That was nice.
Completely.
So then after the service was over, I went to find the bathroom. And on my way to the bathroom, I saw a poster up on the wall. And the poster was advertising an upcoming speaker that they were going to have at Unity, and the speaker was Wayne Dyer. So I went into the book. I knew who Wayne Dyer was because back in the old days, I'm going to show my age here. Back in the old days, Wayne Dyer was kind of a celebrity author, and he was often on the Johnny Carson, The Tonight Show.
Absolutely.
So I knew who he was, and I went, and I was kind of confused. Why would this celebrity, you know, be given a speech at a church? But, you know, I thought, what the hell? I went and I bought a ticket, and it was a very, very interesting lecture that he gave.
Have you ever met him, by the way? Have you ever met? Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I went to a couple of Hay House events.
Right.
And I met him in person a couple times and got to hear his message up close and personal.
Right.
He was a great teacher for me.
Great teacher. He was a very humble man, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
He was such a loving, caring, he knew how to convey that message to everybody at every level We function different level of understanding, but he knew how to take it to every level of the being, so that people of every group, so every walks of life, they resonated with his message. That made him so popular, because the message was so revolutionary and so intense and so powerful. I remember last time I saw him in person was like 1 or 2 years before he passed. And he had a T-shirt, and I have a picture with him. And on the T-shirt, he simply said, "I am, I exist, I'm alive." Like, so I think, therefore I am. So that made such an impression on me, on the simplicity of his message, but the power behind the message was of an enormous force, like completely turning your thoughts in a different direction. So I understand what you're talking about, how it changed your mindset completely.
Yeah, he was one of the first teachers, Carmen, that I came across that really simplified and demystified the message. Prior to discovering Wayne, you know, a lot of the books I read, and I've been a seeker for many, many years, and a lot of the books I read were so complicated. And yeah, Wayne, one of my favorite Wayne stories, I was in person seeing him at the Javits Center in New York, and
right.
and there was a little Q&A, a question, you know, Q&A session after his lecture, and someone in the audience questioned his wealth, you know, questioned his abundance,
right,
and you know, almost in kind of a threatening kind of way, and
right.
he was it was so funny. He was very unapologetic, and he said, yes, I have a lot of abundance. He said, I have a home in Maui. I have a home in California. And you know what? I also have a home in Florida. He said, the universe wants us all to be abundant. He said, the trick is not to be attached to your abundance. And I just... You know, like you said, he had a way of just really simplifying his message.
So, yeah, he was one of those teachers who promoted the idea of non-attachment, because attachment can lead to suffering. And then mm-hmm. he was just a living proof that, hey, why should I attach to all of this home? Because I don't know, and I'm going to leave all of this, you know, and remove myself from this earthly life. But all that I leave is my legacy, you know,
mm-hmm.
is my writing. You know, my message will, I try to convey my message to as many people as possible, and that message will stay, you know. The rest I don't take with me. He was, you know, and he actually wrote books on abundance in which he explained what abundance really means. And we are really abundant, you know what I mean, if we understand who we really are and how to work with a co-creator and how to be good to others. And I really think that you personally have that abundance, because I see that you do so much good to others. I was so moved by the fact that you want to help people, you know. So we're going to take a break, Greg, and for everybody listening, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a minute.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And I'm back tonight, you know, with the author of I Am God in Disguise, So Are You. What a powerful book, you know. This book is beautiful in every sense of the word, because it has such a compelling message. And I'm going to go back to my question, Greta, and I'm going to ask you, what was your inspiration for writing the book? What inspired you? I know that the book has such a message, and I'm going to ask you much more. But first, I'm going to start with, Let's find out the source, the inspiration behind it.
Oh, sure, sure, great. Well, my motivation actually transformed rather quickly. It was my original inspiration was for my kids. I just wanted to share with them some of my life experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly, the aha moments. And I don't know, Carmen, all parents probably feel this way at some point. I mean, why should my kids have to go through the same stuff, the same pain and suffering that I've been through?
Right.
And just to clarify, my kids are not little. I don't want people to think this is a children's book. My kids are in their mid-20s. As a matter of fact, my daughter just had a baby a few days ago.
Congratulations, you're a grandfather.
I am.
That's amazing.
So that was my original inspiration. And since I've been a seeker for decades, I've been journaling for many, many years. So I pulled out my dusty box of journals, and I got to work on trying to organize and trying to put, you know, this message into some kind of chronological order.
Right.
And about 6 months into the process, this story just began to emerge from the page. This purpose or this path just became crystal clear. And Carmen, I kid you not, it was like someone gave me a secret treasure map. And unfortunately, this map was in puzzle form, and the pieces of the puzzle were given to me over many, many years. But now I had it, and I was excited and terrified all at the same time. I was excited because now I had this clear vision, and I was terrified because I knew that I couldn't just keep this to myself. I knew I couldn't just keep this for my kids. That, for example, I knew that someday I'd be on the phone with you trying to share my message with the world. So, so my message, my mission quickly evolved, and my new mission is to just share a very, very positive message to help people on this spiritual path towards awakening and to raise money for a great cause. As you mentioned, I'm donating all the money for the ebook to water.org.
That's so beautiful. And you know what I want to do? I want to invite you today to think about if one day you want to do a live video with me on Facebook or on Instagram. I have a lot of people, followers, both Facebook and Instagram, people who just jump on and we getting thousands of people watching, you know?
Oh,
and we can, if we do like a live together, so look on your schedule, then we can talk about the book, but we can also talk about the fact that people can help, you know, can help this amazing organization. And because we want to help the world. If we want to do the walk and do the talk, I mean, really act on our talking. So let's make it happen. Let's support, you know, this foundation, and let's support, you know, water.org, because if people need something on this earth, they need the good water, the clear water. So we need this, and let's make it happen.
Yeah, Carmen, before I selected which organization I was going to support, I did a lot of research, and I'll tell you what, these guys, it kind of reminds me of the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu, the quote that says, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man a fish, feed him for a lifetime.
Right.
That's what water.org does. They go into these villages and these communities, and they help people build sanitation systems and set up the plumbing, and, you know, they help them with micro loans to have safe water in their communities. And it's life-changing for these people to have a safe private toilet and safe drinking water. So yeah, again, thanks for letting me share this message on your platform.
Absolutely.
Here.
But think of the fact that we are more than 80% we made of water, you know?
Yeah.
And this planet is majority is water, and the water is the most powerful element, you know. And we need to understand the significance of water. And so that's why when I hear stories like people don't have water or don't have the right kind of water to drink, that is so disturbing to me. So I just want to work with you in supporting this. So that's why I suggest that whenever you have a minute, look on your schedule and let me know if we can do some live videos, you know, for the purpose of supporting this organization, which I really believe will be a good thing to do.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'll do that after we hang up here this evening.
So let's talk a little bit about something that is the meat of your book, the essence. What I like about your book is that it defines the six stages of life. And I don't know, you know, I work with the ancient teaching, and one of the ancient teaching is this concept of time, the Pythagorean concept of numbers. And six symbolizes stability, harmony. Six refers to family and to the whole idea of balance. So you talk about, probably never thought when you took the name number six, but you talk about the six stages in the game of life. And I want you to explain what made you choose six and what are those six stages, just for our listener.
Oh, sure. So to be perfectly honest, I had no idea about the power of the number six or the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I actually, when I was writing the outline for the book, I was making these different steps just bullet points.
Right.
And then when I edited the book, I went back and I changed it to numbering. But really my message in a nutshell, Carmen, is that, and I will hit the six stages here in a minute, but my message in a nutshell is that we are all born into this world as body and soul. And
right.
and both are equally important for this adventure. And I refer to this as our primal way. And I believe that all experiences in our lifetime are designed to lead us to discovery or to remembering, as you said at the beginning of the hour, to remembering
right.
this divine
sure.
part of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what you call it. Call it soul, call it spirit, call it God, you know, whatever
exactly.
Whatever you're comfortable with, this sleeping giant lies dormant within all of us, Carmen, just patiently waiting to be discovered. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So my message in a nutshell is just, I think we all share the same collective purpose as human beings, and that is to discover the divine within, to surrender to this power, and then to inspire others on this path. And from there, I identify the six stages that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But discovery is really the most important stage. And, you know, if you look around the world right now, and, you know, you talked about it on the introduction, you know, you see so much pain and suffering and chaos. And I really have come to the conclusion after, you know, decades of soul searching and being a seeker that all of this suffering is caused by our disconnection from source, from our, you know, extended disconnection of our primal way or of this sleeping giant. So I find a sense, or I feel a sense of urgency, and that's, you know, one of the reasons I wrote the book. I want to help people get from discovery and through the school of life and through the epic battle and through these six stages, because until we surrender, that's where the magic begins. And, you know, it kind of makes me sad, you know, because once you get to discovery, you kind of look back and you're kind of brokenhearted in a way, because you know that a lot of this suffering you see in the world is is self-imposed. And you know that it's just a simple shift in awareness that can change everything. Does that make sense? Uh-oh.
Right,
I think I lost Carmen.
Yeah, for a second, I think I just disconnected. I don't know how it happened. It never happened to me before. So that's interesting, talking about disconnect, you know?
Yeah.
It's so interesting because we live in this era of everything is computerized. And if you think of disconnecting from the computer, what is going to happen to us, you know? I feel the world was more whole and more connected if we go back to our parents and grandparents as we are connected now. You know, we are connected through an electronic source, you know what I mean? Not through our own divine source. Does it make sense to you?
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. But you know what? I am optimistic, as I believe you are. You know, even in these turbulent times, Carmen, I think there's a powerful force that's at work in the universe. And really, if you look throughout history, when human beings experience this collective, I don't know, call it collective pain, we always come, you know, we always seem to rise to the occasion, and we come together. And you know what? I lived in Houston, Texas, most of my adult life, and
right.
living on the Gulf Coast, I've experienced many, many hurricanes, and nothing brings people together more than a natural disaster.
I agree with you on this one big time, because I live in New York on September 11th.
Oh.
And I tell you, my neighbors knew me after September 11. Everybody was at my door asking me if I'm okay. But we were neighbors for 20 years, and we never spoke before. So that story brought us together, you know?
Yes.
The togetherness, that a tragedy impact us collectively is pretty remarkable. You know, we come as one, and we realize we all go through the same problem, the same suffering. So if a part of New York was affected, the rest of the world is affected. So the whole world was affected by what's going on. And as you said, we came in unity, you know, to break through that and survive and prove our tenacity and our, you know, desire to conquer and break through and survive. So that's pretty remarkable. I know what you're talking about.
And well, also, you being down in South Florida as well, you've had your share of hurricanes.
Oh, my God, how many? Yes.
Yeah. And I tell you what, when the rescue boat pulls up at your house, they don't ask you who you voted for. Everyone, you know what?
True.
This is baked into our DNA. In these highly emotional times, as a human race, we come together. And I see this era that we're living through right now, whether you're looking at the political era in the United
right.
States, or if you're looking at globally the chaos that's going on in the world, I see this as one of these storms. And I can see a positive shift already happening. I see people organizing and coming together. I see people rising up and speaking out. So I am optimistic in these times, Carmen, and I think you are too.
Oh, I'm very optimistic, absolutely. I see
Good.
That, you know, there's this German philosopher called Schopenhauer who used to say, before progress, there's a state of chaos. And I can see that the state of chaos having to do with politics and disconnect and all this fighting against each other is actually necessary for our own evolution. It's necessary, will lead to the progress that we're looking for. And I can see how we all are searching for the progress. And, you know, people like you, people start to exist and they start to deliver their message. Let's come together. You know, we are united in this world. And you know what I mean? We go through the same situation together. And if we are together, we're stronger. We can make it right for ourselves. You know, if we disconnect, no, this world is going to fall apart. So we acknowledge this major truth.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm reading right now the Buddhist nun Pema Chodron. Her new book is called Welcoming the Unwelcomed, and just like what you said, she says our pain, our sorrow, our heartbreak, these are all necessary. They foster our awakening. Mm-hmm. And you know, the school of life can be brutal,
totally.
If we don't like any school, if we don't learn our lessons, and if we don't look for the seeds of wisdom, you know, in all of these lessons, the school of life makes the next lesson just a little bit harder and a little bit harder. And so we need to stop. We need to be aware. We need to live a little bit more in the moment. Instead of, like most of us, we just rush to the next experience without soaking in the wisdom we were supposed to learn from the previous lesson. And you know, I was one of the stubborn ones, Carmen, and it took me many, many years, and it was like getting hit over the head with a club. And, you know, finally I got it, and the school of life did its job, and I said, I've had enough. There must be more to life than this. And I swear to God, it was like Alibaba saying, open sesame. You know, the doors of, you know, treasures was opened. My soul was jumping for joy when it heard those words.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a fun adventure.
Well, we used to say that we create the miracle of life. Is created sometimes through pain and suffering. And we all go through our own challenges and our pain and our suffering and our losses and our lessons that we need to learn. But this is the way we create the miracle of life. Like you created this miracle of your own life, and you look at your life and you said, well, I've learned, you know, and I was able to deliver my message, and I have my own legacy. So the book, the everything that I'm doing is so transformational, and I have something to leave behind me. And this gives you a tremendous satisfaction. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to be back with Greg in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Thank you.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom! Everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
And I'm back with my wonderful guest, Greg Galabo. And he's the author of I Am God in Disguise, Then So Are You. And it's an amazing book, like I said, because this book calls for a spiritual revolution. It's an inspiring and powerful journey, remembering our divine nature. And it's also remembering that we're all here at service, and how powerful is that? So, Greg, I'm so honored and so pleased to have you as my guest, and I'm going to continue a little bit with my questions, because in your book you discuss this universal law, and I was intrigued by that, that everything happens for a reason, and you define this as a universal law. Can you explain us a little bit more about why is this a universal law?
Sure. Well, I feel like the school of life leads us all on the same path. And before we went to break, you and I were just briefly chatting about why so many of us, you know, run from one adventure to the next without learning.
Right.
So the universal law that I'm referring to there is that everything happens for a reason. I mean, I can fill a whole book of stories of situations or experiences in life that really seemed horrible or terrible at first, but then turned out to be a blessing in disguise afterwards. Actually, there's a lady, a friend of mine named Fanny, that I interviewed for the book, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer many years ago, and in my interview with her, she talked about going through all the struggles and challenges and surgeries and chemotherapy and all the, you know, the processes related to that awful disease.
Right.
And a couple of years after that experience, you know, talk about everything happens for a reason. You know, I had no idea she would have the courage to say this, but a couple of years after she overcame this disease, she said to me, "Craig, cancer proved to be my friend." She said it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. She said it forced me to change my life. And just, again, to use her as an example, she had a high-pressured engineering job that she hated, and you know, during this process, she quit her job. She moved down to Tulum, Mexico, and started a yoga retreat and started helping other women who are going through breast cancer and, you know, having spiritual retreats and such. And she said it's one of the best things that ever happened to me.
But so, I will tell you what I think it is. You know, when you embrace a test like this, you know, and you make cancer your friend, and you accept it, and you're not afraid, because what fear of cancer does turns, you know, even neurologists found this from a medical point of view, that the blood flow, when you're afraid, in the parts of the brain, you know, don't allow yourself to be creative anymore, to be optimistic anymore, to have dreams, to imagine anything anymore when you operate on fear. So what cancer does will block you, will make you so scared and afraid that you are not gonna be yourself anymore. So then you stop your divine force within yourself to manifest. But when you accept it and you embrace it and you allow the divine force, you know what I mean, to cooperate with you, then you can fight it easily. And that's what people don't understand. When they are hit with the news that you have this disease, and if their reaction is, "I'm terrified and I program my mind that I'm going to die," then that's what's going to happen to you. If you say, "No, I'm going to make cancer my friend, and I will embrace it, and I will fight it, because I'm not going to be afraid of it, and I'm going to prove myself that I can fight it," that turns this into the miracle of your own life, and it makes you so powerful, and then fear is completely vanishing out of your system. You're not, after that, you're not afraid of anything in this life anymore. You understand? Oh. So it's almost like you become a superior human being as a result of experiencing something like this.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, but the problem, the biggest problem is with this universal law that we're talking about, that everything happens for a reason, is when you're talking to someone that is in the middle of some terrible event, whether it's a disease or an addiction or an accident,
right,
or death or death of a loved one, when they're in the middle of it, they don't want to hear that in every adversity lie seeds of wisdom. I mean, they're going to tell you to go straight to hell.
Sure.
So, that's the challenging part. And I guarantee you, you know, the story I just told about my friend Fanny, I guarantee you when they were rolling Fanny into the operating room for her second cancer surgery, she wasn't thinking, oh, what a wonderful gift this is. You know, so my point is, Carmen, sometimes these seeds of wisdom take some time to bloom. And all I'm saying is I personally have experienced enough of these challenges that I've seen that so many times that there's blessing in disguise that it allows me to have faith in the seeds that have not bloomed yet. So,
right.
You know,
that's
there's
beautifully said. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know what? It always, since it took me so many years, as I confessed, I was one of the stubborn ones on the spiritual path. It took me so many years to reach that point of surrender where I let that divine part of my nature, steer the ship, that I really did some soul searching and I looked into why we resist surrendering. And I came up with a few of my favorite excuses, and I just wanted to touch on these real quick.
Sure, tell me. Absolutely.
Great. So I think one of the biggest reasons we resist, I can only speak for myself, but I have a feeling it's true for a lot of us, and it's fear of change. I mean, come on, the unknown can be scary. And my frame of mind for many years was, hey, you know what? Life might be a struggle, but at least it's safe and it's predictable. So I lived in that state for a long time. And then another one for me, another one of my excuses, it was just easier to be a victim. I mean, to become a conscious player is really, really a powerful thing, but you must take responsibility for all of the current conditions in your life.
Right.
And most of us aren't willing to do that. You know, and it's just easier to be a victim, to say, you know, I'm just, you know, life's a bitch and then you die kind of a mentality. Another one of my favorites was I was worried about what other people would think of me. I spent decades, Carmen, creating this facade, you know, this mask, and I didn't want to give it up. You know, I looked at spiritual people, and I don't know, they just seemed kind of weird to me, and I just didn't have enough courage to take that leap of faith and to go for it. And last but not least, addictions. And I overcame plenty of addictions, but, you know, we're all addicted to something. People naturally think of alcohol and drugs, but, I mean, think about sugar, video games, you know, internet. You know, these are all ways that we use to numb ourselves, to distract ourselves. And these addictions, a lot like diseases, cause us to focus 100% on feeding the monster, on our physical bodies. And when you're so focused on your physical body, you cannot have an authentic relationship with spirit. I'm sorry, it's impossible.
No, I completely agree. I totally agree. And I deal with addiction. You know, I'm a therapist, so I've seen people addicted to so many things. And usually, you know, one addiction leads to another. So I've seen people who smoke, then they drink, and they're addicted to gambling and to so many things. So then addiction grows and grows, you know, and takes over because the brain is wired completely in the wrong direction. It has a lot to do with the neurotransmitters. And medically, there are a lot of explanation about why addiction happened to begin with. And it's very hard to fight addiction, and especially addiction to cocaine, addiction to nicotine. It's extremely hard to fight. And it's a very self-destructive, you know, it's a compulsive disorder. Personality. People become self-destructive and they're on the wrong path. And then you question what can save them, you know, how can you save those people? And definitely a way of saving them is awakening in them, you know, that the spirit in them, that power in them, that their divine nature that can intervene and save them from ruining their own life.
Oh, you nailed it. So for me, since I personally experienced some of these addictions, nicotine was the worst one, you know, but, you know, drugs and alcohol, there's so much out there that'll just numb yourself because, you know, we don't want to feel all the feelings. And it's so funny to me now in hindsight because, you know, one of my I had a life coach for many, many years, and she told me, she said, Craig, a true spiritual master is ready and willing to feel all feelings. And, you know, when I really think about that message, you know, we pay good money, Carmen, to go and see these sad movies at the movie theater. You know, think about movies like Terms of Endearment or Beaches or Romeo and Juliet. And, you know, what do people say when they come out of the movie theater? They say, oh, my God, it was so good. I cried for 2 hours. You know, or look at people who spend good money riding roller coasters or going to haunted houses because they love feeling that excitement and the fear.
Right.
But then in real life, the first time in real life we start to feel, you know, some pain or some discomfort or some fear, we want to numb ourselves. We push it down. We don't want to feel it. So what I discovered is the spiritual path and the surrendering, more specifically, leads to overcoming addictions. My addictions melted away. No willpower required. I mean, it was so easy. Once you discover you are the divine you have the divine within, and you are hosting God, and you surrender to that part of you, it just melts away. You come to the realization, hey, if I'm going to be a vehicle for God's expression, I want to be a freaking Ferrari.
And you know, it's so funny. I was about to ask you because we're coming to the end of the show. I was about, if there is one thing you would like readers to take away from your book, what would it be? And I think you just answer, you know. I think this is the answer. This is what this book is all about, you know.
The rewards of surrender are huge, and I outline them all. I outline them all in the book. So if I'm just going to wrap it up and give you one thing I'd like the reader to know is, I am going to try to attract you to read my book by promises of personal transformation, of vibrant health, abundance, and love. And don't get me wrong, these are all true, and I explain them in my book. However, I have an ulterior motive, and the ulterior motive is, once you discover the divine within, you'll see this divine in all of creation. You won't be able to define your neighbors anymore by the color of their skin or their nationality or their gender. The idea of poisoning your planet, you know, of destroying our planet will be totally absurd. So, you know, our oneness becomes very clear, and that's my excitement, and that's my mission for wanting to share this message with everyone.
Now, at the end of the show, I want our listener to know how can they connect with you or how can they purchase your book.
Okay, sure. You can go to any of your favorite online book retailers, Amazon.com or any others. You can just type in my name, Craig Calavo. It'll take you to the author's page. The last name is spelled K-O. L-A-V, like victory, O, Colavo. And then my website is awesomelife.com, And the only trick there is the word awesome does not have an E at the end. It's A-W-E-S-O-M. My logo, it's kind of O-M like Ohm. So awesomelife.com. Thanks for that opportunity, Carmen.
Well, I'm very grateful that you are my guest today, and I think this was a wonderful show for which I'm, as I said, very, very grateful. I hope that we can do some more shows in the future and talk much more about your book and your work. And I am Carmen Hara tonight. Thank you for listening with my wonderful guest tonight, and I hope you're going to read his books. And I'll be with you next week, same place, same time, Ombright Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Carmen.